Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. Under the radar, I'm Chad Sherwood. That's David Griggs. And
Chad, when are you going to get me out of jail?
David, this was your Christmas gift. My Christmas gift to everybody else was we were putting you in jail.
Well, this is ridiculous. Okay, I don't know if you've been following Twitter or not, but I was trying to get John Stalica a birthday gift. Right. And, well, Kyle, because I was trying to do something nice for somebody, Kyle Lamb called the police, and now I'm in jail.
Okay.
That's
good to me. Oh, that's a pretty good birthday gift to put you in jail.
No.
Happy birthday, Stalica. David is in jail.
I was trying to get him a microphone. I don't know what the hell you were talking about.
This is our Under the Radar show, where we go over the 22 conferences that are not normally multi-bid leagues, so the power conferences and the few others that we deal with in our Hoops HD report.
Yeah.
Not in this show. We also will not be discussing Buffalo because they're a top 25 team and therefore by default on the radar. Right.
Yeah, and can we just so everybody understands that we know this, these are the regular singular bid leagues. That doesn't mean that it's impossible for them to get two or three or eight teams, depending on what they do in November and December. There's a couple, I think, that we're looking at that might get more than one. So it isn't like preset in stone that these are one bid leagues. It's just that they normally are.
In fact, one of the things that we like to discuss, especially this time of year on the show, is exactly that. Are there teams out there that can get multiple bids?
Yeah.
So. Conferences out there that get multiple bids, not teams. Most teams don't get multiple bids.
Right, yeah. And like the non-under-the-radar leagues, there's no rule that says they get more than one. In fact, we might see one or two that only get one this year.
Yeah, and in fact, Dave, that leads right into the conference that I wanted to do for our feature conference, because right now – this is a conference that has the same amount of top 50 teams in the NCAA's net rating as both the Atlantic 10 and the Pac-12 combined.
Okay.
So
I'm assuming it's the – I know this league.
No, it's probably not the one you're thinking of, actually.
If it's not the SoCon, then I'm
– No, because between the A-10 and the Pac-12 combined, there is one top 50 team in Arizona State.
Oh, jeez.
And here's the Atlantic Sun that also has one top 50 team.
Okay.
There are conferences better than that. This we'll be discussing a bit here.
Yeah.
But we featured the SoCon earlier this year, so I figured let's go a little A-Sun and talk a little bit about this Lipscomb team specifically. They got a big game coming up this weekend, too. So that's
right. And when you look at their body of work, it's actually really good. It's actually at large worthy good at the moment. They've won at TCU. They're the only team that's done that. They're the only team that's beaten TCU at all. They have a nice win at SMU, although SMU's kind of letting them down. And there are three losses, Chad, to Belmont twice, both very close games, and a very close loss at Louisville. So I got two questions for you. How good is their paper, and how good are they? Because sometimes when you're dealing with under-the-radar teams, and you know this, sometimes a team is better than their paper.
I think that this team is better than its paper because those two Belmont losses, they're rivalry games. It's a very good Belmont team that we'll be discussing in a little bit here. And look, I mean, it was by 4 points and 2 points. I kind of maybe count that as one loss that rather than two. And Louisville, I think, should be a top 25 team right now, the way they're playing.
Right. So. Louisville undefeated at home. Belmont undefeated at home. They've won at SMU. I don't know what their home record is off the top of my head. They have the win at TCU. That's a really good win. They're the only team that's beaten TCU at home, on the road, or anywhere. This is a really good profile.
It really is. And if you look at the upcoming schedule, that's why I wanted to feature this. Huge game coming up on, I believe that's actually Sunday, at Clemson. The winnable game, I think. Clemson has not been blowing people out by any means.
Yeah. And in looking at the rest of the A-Sun, there is another team I kind of want to look here, and it's the initial team of the people here with actually a 10-2 record. Now, it hasn't come against the type of schedule Lipscomb's played. But how about NJIT? And is this the best year that they've ever had up to this point?
Yeah, I mean, they are not in any type of at-large discussion with two bad losses and no top two tier wins. But but great performance. Six true road wins there already this season. Mm-hmm. A little over their head, I think, at Houston coming up on Saturday. And then a trip to Duquesne, which could be an interesting game on New Year's Eve there.
Yeah, Duquesne, a really solid record. Still really bad metrics, though.
Liberty is the other team I think is worth mentioning when discussing ASUN. I'll put them up here in the back up on the left side. This will be the other team that could be a challenge for Lipscomb, especially the road game against them. But that win at Kent State still impresses me, although they started to pile up a few more questionable losses, especially the Austin Peay loss there.
Yeah, that one was kind of a head scratcher. You know, at Alabama, at Georgia. Well, not the Alabama game wasn't at Alabama, but I want to say it was in Mobile.
It was either Mobile or Huntsville or something like that. Yeah.
Okay. So one of the two. Not in Tuscaloosa, but still very pro Alabama crowd. But good showings in all three losses, with the exception of Austin Peay there.
Right. Let's go back to over to the standings there. As far as the rest of the conference go, we're still looking for that first win from North Alabama against D1 foes. I will bet you, looks like we've actually got the upcoming schedule there already. Friday night at Gonzaga. I don't think it's going to happen. Maybe nope. Sunday at Eastern Illinois, though. Maybe.
Maybe, yeah. And this is in North Alabama. I don't think they're going to go for the zero. I do think they're going to get a Div 1 win this year. Well, they haven't. Yeah, they've got three wins overall, but none against D1 teams. Stetson's really bad. Kennesaw's really bad. They get both of those teams at home. I think they get at least one of them.
I agree with that. They will get one. It should be coming in conference, though, most likely. Another game to circle Saturday, Liberty at UCLA. The way UCLA has played, it would not shock me at all if Liberty wins that game.
No, UCLA is just eye-gougingly bad at the moment.
All right, let's go. We don't have much to talk about in terms of games because of the holiday break, but let's run quickly through the other conferences here. First of all, the America East, where not much happened this past week, and Stony Brook and Vermont are still the two teams leading the way, other than that Lipscomb win over Vermont, which we neglected to discuss 2 seconds ago.
Yeah.
Very big win, too. It was a blowout of a very good
against a really good team. This Vermont team, not anything like what they've been the last 2 years, but for a rebuilding year when they lost so much of their roster, they're doing really well. Stony Brook, the road warriors of the conference. And even when you look at some of the games Stony Brook's won and then you look at the ones that they've lost, they don't seem to match up. Some of their losses are head-scratchers. But overall, all 11-3. This league, it was a 16 seed a year ago, but that's a little bit misleading because had Vermont won the conference, I think they would have at least been on the 13 line.
Yeah, I agree.
This conference in the last 3 or 4 years has gone from 15 and 16 as its ceiling to being around the 13 range, and I think that's 13, 14 kind of what we're looking at again with if it's Vermont or Stony Brook.
If it's Vermont or Stony Brook and they go through the conference only one or two losses, I'd agree with that. The upcoming schedule, we've got a up there on the right-hand side. Stony Brook is at Northern Iowa. Kind of circle that one. Vermont hosting Dartmouth. I don't see – New Hampshire, also a big rivalry game actually coming up Sunday. New Hampshire
at Dartmouth. Yeah.
New Hampshire looking for that first D1 win still also. So
yeah, last year it was decided on a half-court shot, so –
All right. This could be a fun one, actually. I'm going to watch that game, even if it doesn't mean anything. It's definitely
right, yeah. It's the Battle of the Granite State.
Big Sky Conference should be flashed up on the screen right here, where Montana – first of all, there we go. Big Sky and Summit tied in their challenge series, 4-4. Congrats. nobody knew that except for us. But
yeah, no one did know that except for us, but they know it now. All of the thousands of millions of people watching this show.
I guess last week we were talking about Northern Colorado, though. So congratulating them on their Front Range Championship. And what a performance out in Vegas for them, David.
Yeah, I'm done with Northern Colorado. I was really excited about them when they were 6-1. I think they've lost 4 in a row.
I can excuse the Rider game. Rider, I think, is going to win the Metro Atlantic, but to lose to SIU Edwardsville.
Yeah, just a horrible showing from a team that had been playing pretty solid. Chad, you and I and everybody at Hoops HG, we love the Front Range. We long for the days where that comes back as a real mythical conference. And I love saying real mythical conference. When you look at how those teams are doing this year, all six of them, how much longer are we going to love the Front Range?
I think maybe we should give the title to Johnson and Wales of Denver instead.
Yes, we're going to start following those teams.
The other one, though, Montana with the road win at South Dakota State. I think Montana's getting ready to start its run. I think Montana's going to end up winning this conference probably by several games at the end of the day.
Yeah, and they really do. And I know that the 5-4 overall record isn't that impressive, but they have kind of stumbled around. They haven't played anywhere near to their ceiling until their last game. I think they're starting to hit it, and they might blow through this league. I mean, nobody else is even close to them.
As you can see, the upcoming schedule, its conference play starts this weekend, so that's it. Don Conference is done in this league, so we're excited to see some conference action. Mm-hmm. Let's move on to the Big South, where, again, I think we'll look waiting for conference play here as well. Though Radford, a nice win over Georgia Southern. I thought that was a pretty good Georgia Southern team. So not the bad win for Radford there.
Right. Yeah. Radford, not quite enough. Well, not even close to enough to be in the bubble talk. They're going to need the automatic bid to get in, but still NIT, other postseason tournaments, they did some really good stuff. They had the win against Duquesne. They had a couple of other really good wins. Was it Notre Dame that they beat as well?
Let's pull up their team sheet real quick here.
Yeah.
I was going to.
Most of their losses were tough road games.
Yeah, let's get their team sheet up here. The computer read a little slow there. Sorry about that. Slowing things down. We'll get back up here in a second, though. There it is. Their losses were at Greensboro, at Clemson, but they won at Notre Dame and at Texas.
Yeah, at Notre Dame and at Texas. And if you look at – I mean, those aren't – Greensboro, I don't think, has a home loss yet. Clemson is still pretty good. Duquesne on a neutral floor. Ohio, James Madison's pretty rough. But those are tough games to win on the road.
Yes.
So I'm still more impressed with them than anybody else in the conference right now.
A game coming up this weekend at Maryland. Circle that one. Again, it might be winnable. Might be winnable.
Yeah, Maryland's – yeah.
And just want to also note Winthrop with a road win at Southern Illinois. That may be more of a testament to what Southern Illinois is doing right now. But but Winthrop could be competitive in this conference. They normally are.
I missed that game, and I know that they interviewed Barry Hanson, and I hate that I missed
it. There's the rest of the upcoming schedule. We mentioned that Radford at Maryland game, Campbell at Miami on there, and Coker at South Carolina Upstate.
Yeah, Coker, okay.
And we got Mars Hill, Piedmont National.
Yeah.
Washington at High Point, David, on Wednesday.
Yeah, that is crazy. Going, you know, that the Huskies are going to High Point.
Or Washington College, whatever that might be.
It's the JV team.
JV team. Okay, 20, where are we? Oh, Big West, I'm sorry. Okay, Big West, UC Irvine, still liking this team a lot, despite the Butler loss. They were really not even in that game, but still, right. I can't fault them too much for going to Butler and losing.
Yeah. Yeah, and in this conference, I think it's a two-horse race and maybe a one-and-a-half-horse race. Santa Barbara also off to a good start. But UC Irvine has done some heavy lifting. It isn't just this cupcake schedule that they've played. They've won some decent games on the road. They haven't been quite as good as I thought that they might be, but they're still better than anybody else in the league right now.
Although you got, you know, Hawaii picked beat Colorado and Rhode Island in the Diamond Head to finish in fifth place. You know, those are two main brand wins. It was on their home court, but I wouldn't count Hawaii out quite yet. I think they showed a little life for that event. So.
Yeah, I mean, we might need to pull up their team sheet. We want to double-check this. I think half of the conference games, Hawaii's playing at home.
Well, let's double-check on that, David, just for you. Let's see here. There it is. Now, you know, they don't have a Tier 1 or 2, but their losses are all Tier 1 and 2 other than the Vegas loss. So.
Yeah, so Colorado we thought was good. We thought they were sort of riding to the rescue out in the Pac-12, but –
And how about this? After last week at Alabama A&M was here in Atlantic City, the Alabama A&M going all the way out to Hawaii for next weekend. So logging some miles there.
Right, yeah. Okay, I hope they enjoy that visit.
Hey, they beat Tulane.
They did. What a story that was.
So we'll get that. We'll get to the SWAC in a few minutes here. But here's the upcoming schedule for this week. Irvine is at Pacific.
That's a good one on Saturday, San Francisco at Santa Barbara. Really looking forward to that one.
All right. And UC Davis at USC. Circle that. Davis only lost by 2 points at Arizona. They might be able to beat USC.
if they're not careful, USC might step up and surprise them.
Davis at Loyola Marymount before that on Friday also. Loyola Marymount is very capable of losing that game.
Mm-hmm.
In the Colonial Conference, College of Charleston, a win over Coastal Carolina.
Yeah, really a close call on that one. So Charleston's 10-2. I mean, you love their paper, but, like, do they have the staying power to blow through the conference? Because Hofstra kind of on their heels, too.
Yeah, Hofstra has a huge win over Rosemont.
Yeah, Rosemont. I mean, that is Rosemont. Big.
Northeastern beat St. Bonaventure, but so they at home, so they won their bye game.
Yeah. Yes.
Let's take a look at the upcoming schedule. Not much happened, although, I agree with you. I like this Charleston team a lot at the moment.
Yeah.
The upcoming schedule, we got you get into conference play here. Charleston is at Wilmington. Hofstra is hosting Delaware and Drexel. So exciting conference play.
Yeah, I know. And that's the thing of under the radar. It's like everything kind of gets reset when conference play starts.
And you see a lot of these leagues starting a week before the major conferences because a lot of their conference tournaments are the week before all year.
Yeah, so we're down to it now. And these are stakes games. Finishing in first, it doesn't get you to the NCAA, but it does get you to the NIT.
And it might get you home games in the conference tournament, depending on this league, but
not in this league. They don't do it right. So where is that tournament this year?
I believe it's back in Charleston.
Okay, yeah. So if Charleston finishes first, they get to host.
Yep.
All right. Sort of. It's at the Charleston Coliseum, not on their campus.
Conference USA, which has won the great conference tournaments with the curtain, but
they have reinvented absurdity, and it is awesome. Conference USA.
North Texas won one game this past week, beat Arkansas Pine Bluff. We still know nothing about this team, do we?
I'm really curious as to why their metrics are as good as they are, because when you look at their schedule, it is. It's still refreshing. It isn't so bad. I mean, you know, Indiana State, I think they're the only team that's won there. They did win at Hawaii. I don't know. I'm still not sold on this team as being a top 40-ish team, but yet in the net, and I realize it's still really early, they've got them right in that range.
They have a net. This one, where you look at the predictive metrics, though, Sagarin, Kempom, like they're all way out of, not even close. Yeah. Interestingly, the KPI, you don't really see a huge difference within a group of metrics, but KPI way different than Joby's or the ESPN strength of resumes.
Yeah, Joby not normally on under the radar, but maybe that's a question at some point. I know that we're going to be starting our bracket shows here in January, or at least a variation of them. Maybe it's a seedless show. We need to ask him about this team.
Yeah, I think we should definitely find out because, I mean, they will go right into conference play. As you can see, their non-conference schedule is over also.
Yeah.
As far as the rest of the conference, I think we've got to discuss Old Dominion a little bit
too. Old Dominion for sure. And I still like this La Tech team, even though their paper isn't really there. So, but yeah, Old Dominion has the win against VCU, a kind of a schizophrenic VCU team, but also they have another really big win.
At Syracuse.
At Syracuse, yeah.
So, I can pull their team sheet up real quick here. Let's put them up on the right-hand side next to North Texas. Hopefully, they will load quickly.
Yeah.
There it is. Yeah, the at Syracuse VCU. Now, they have that bad loss to Northern Iowa in their tournament by 1 point. The other two losses, not awful, away from home at Oregon State and St. Joe's.
Yeah. And again, neither of those are tournament teams, but they were both away from home. And I think Conference USA with Louisiana Tech, I mean, I don't think it's going to be the anchor that it has been for maybe a team like Middle Tennessee a few years ago. I think it's stronger, and hopefully like they're able to sustain that in the metrics here.
Well, you see here that ODU schedule, Marshall, Western Kentucky, both good teams at home, at Florida Atlantic, who got to extra sore start. Louisiana Tech at home. We're going to find out a lot about this ODU team in the first couple of weeks of conference play, I think.
Right, and with two Conference USA teams up here, Chad, another thing that this conference did, which I think is a great idea, is you notice that the schedule stops on February 16th. Well, the rest of the games are to be determined based on how well you do, and the idea is to match the good teams up against each other so they don't get dragged down the way we've seen. Well, I mean, we keep going back to Middle Tennessee, but we've seen teams in this league kind of get dragged down by the weakness of the league.
Yeah, what they will do after those February 16th games is take three pods, two groups of five and a group at the top, and then the final bottom four teams, and you will play four games against your little pod there. So the top five teams will play each other. The next five will play each other. I guess there's some type of doubling up in the bottom group.
Yeah.
And you're also guaranteed if you're in the top pod, you will be guaranteed one of the top five seeds in the conference tournament, although it is determined by overall conference record. So it's a little bit confusing there, but if you finish in the top five, you will be one of the top five seeds based on your overall record, overall 18 games. Very good.
And how are we coming, Chad? I heard that we might be expanding the field to 13 teams, having a quintuple header for the opening round.
We're still working on that one. We're still working on it. Yeah. But the upcoming schedule real quick in CUSA for this week, as we noted, conference play getting underway. North Texas at Rice. Texas San Antonio against that great CUSA team, SE Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
Well, they already lost to one non-D1 team already. So, yeah, UTSA better watch out, actually. Yeah. the Horizon League, here's a conference that has been very disappointing so far this season.
Yeah, it really has.
And KU is still 10-3 is solid, but they just haven't done anything.
They haven't, and a lot of those wins have come at home. They hosted a multi-team event or an exempt tournament, whatever the hell you want to call them, and it was weak competition. So that was four of their wins right there. Maybe it was only three. I don't know. But, like, not a whole lot there, and not a whole lot by anyone. IUPUI, we were kind of big on them, especially after they had the win at Boston College, and I think that they were 8-2, losing three in a row to pretty weak competition. Yeah,
they lose to Morehead State, and now Wright State, who we like heading into the season, gave a game effort against a very good Mississippi, very, very good Mississippi State team, so we'll see if they can use that to springboard themselves as they head towards conference play.
Yeah, they were a team I loved coming into the year, and they have been grossly disappointing.
Yeah, here we see conference play again starting here on Friday as well. Wright State hosting UIC, Northern Kentucky, IUPUI.
Yeah.
Listen, they do the travel partner things here. So that's,
yeah, they do. And you can tell already who the travel partners are.
Let's go ahead and move over to the Ivy League, where I am very high on this Penn team.
I am too.
A very nice road win at New Mexico. Very tough place to win, at least.
Well, yeah. Well, for this year, it's particularly tough for New Mexico.
Well, it's a cross-country trip again to a tough place to win, though.
It is. They've played a tough schedule, and they've amassed a lot of good wins. And they're not out of the woods yet. They still have Temple, and I want to say, is it Joe's on their schedule? So they're not all the way into just Ivy League play. But if they get both of those, you're pulling it up here. And we had asked Rocco this, and it's another question for our selection committee guessing expert, John Titel. Big game coming up at Toledo. At least I think it is. At least I think it should be, because Toledo, while they're not a top 50 team, they are unbeaten at home, and they only have one loss on the year.
They're a top 70 team right now. So
right, yeah. To me, that is the kind of game that you should get a lot of credit for if you win, that I felt the committee used to give teams credit for but hasn't the last couple of years. Our discussion with David Warlock seems to be that they are trying to correct that. But – look at this, Jack. I mean, if they go to Toledo and win, and they go to Temple and win, and they, like, run away from the Ivy League, like they only drop one or two games in conference play, I think that should be enough.
I think that they should get some very serious discussion, especially I think that Villanova win will move up to a Tier 1 win by the end of the day.
Yeah.
I think the Miami win will move up to a Tier 2 win, so you're going to see some movement here. I think that this profile will look even better just from nothing happening that Penn is controlling.
Right, yeah. And of their two losses, both away from home, both against, well, Kansas State, a likely tournament team, Oregon State, a likely Pac-12 tournament team.
Very early in the season also. I mean, since November 20th, they're undefeated.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and take a quick look at the upcoming schedule. I would note Harvard beat George Washington, another bye win against those A-10 teams.
Right.
His upcoming schedule, we mentioned that Penn-Toledo game. You may want to also circle, what is Yale doing? They're hosting Kennesaw State.
Yeah.
We mentioned the Dartmouth-New Hampshire game already.
Right. Harvard getting paid to go to North Carolina. So this conference, because it's only an 8-team league, they get into their conference format a little bit later.
Yeah, we won't see conference games. I mean, it doesn't really get going until the end of January, but they have the games with their travel partners normally in the middle of January. So
right, yeah.
Metro Atlantic. Here's the standings. There they are. Nothing happened other than Riders went over Northern Colorado, which they followed up with a loss to Cal State Northridge. God. Niagara 6-5, the only team with a winning record.
Mm-hmm.
Should we move on?
Yes, I think so. We're looking 15-16 line.
I think we're looking 16 line here at this
point. Yeah, maybe 8.
Unless there's going to be multiple upsets and the league conference champion better pull the double to avoid Dayton at this
point. Right. And you can see here, Monmouth, some people are net people, some people are RPI people. Either way, Monmouth is terrible.
Yeah, Monmouth is terrible. I'm going to get back to Monmouth at the end of the show. Actually, I got a question about them.
Okay.
We'll get back to that in a little bit. Mid-American Conference, let's talk about something a lot better here. Now, again, Buffalo, not technically under the radar, still ranked in the top 25 polls, but we mentioned that Toledo team, 11-1 now.
Yeah, and slowly climbing up the metrics there. If you look at least at the predictive metrics, I mean, top 60, well, top 70 anyway.
Yeah.
I like this Toledo team. I think that they're – bad metrics are a result of a bad schedule. And again, it's a situation where the team might be better than what the numbers are.
Right. I also like Kent State. I think that
I like Kent State a lot.
There's a lot of teams in here that are going to be very good. Let's put both those profiles on the screen real quick here. There should be Toledo and Kent State should be coming up here as soon as this loads in about 2 seconds.
Yeah.
There they go. Toledo only loss was that Wright State loss, but they have the wins over Irvine and down the road at Marshall. Mm-hmm. Kent State, that great win at Vanderbilt, also a road win at Oregon State there.
Yeah. And again, this is a good Kent State team. I know Louisville beat them up pretty bad. That was a little bit more. They actually trailed by about 20 for most of that game, but this is a pretty good Kent State team. You kind of would have liked to have seen them have a better night that night. I don't think they're going to lose until maybe they could be going into that Ohio game 14-15-1.
They may not lose until the Buffalo home game, and maybe not even then.
And imagine what a showcase that would be.
And I just noticed something. Let me pull that back up here, though. Toledo, second conference game January 8th at Buffalo, so circle that one as well.
Yeah,
especially if they get that Penn win this weekend.
Yeah, I know. But that Penn-Toledo game, a huge under-the-radar game.
Upcoming schedule in the MAC for this week, at least, we've got Carnegie Mellon at Akron. I know you're going to be watching that one.
Didn't even know Carnegie Mellon plays basketball.
Indiana University South Bend. So what's that kind of like? IU Notre Dame.
Is that the art school Carnegie Mellon?
I don't know what to say. Overland's at Kent State. There we go.
I've at least heard of their basketball. Good Lord, Carnegie Mellon.
The MEAC here.
That's
look at all that red.
Balding.
Look at that beautiful red there. It's Christmas.
It is. Just lit up like a Christmas tree. Our team of the people couldn't get it done against Tennessee Tech. I thought they had a winnable game. But conference play is upon us, and that's when it really starts. And you know what? I like their chances as much as anyone.
Well, yeah. Hey, upcoming schedule for this week. Let's see. Still a week away from conference play in this league, though.
Yeah.
So you got to – bunch more last little group of bye games, including the Battle of DC there, Howard at Georgetown.
The pillow fight of DC.
Chestnut Hill.
Half of those teams have a pretty decent shot at making the tournament.
Wilberforce is at NC Central. That's a big game.
Yeah.
Missouri Valley Conference. Let's talk a little bit about the top of this league, actually, David, because I am now sold on them. I'm ready to buy in.
I am too. Very much so.
Great game against San Diego.
Yeah, getting a trophy.
Was it double overtime? Triple overtime, was it?
I think it was double.
Double overtime win over San Diego. Also, win the day before over New Mexico State. Two teams that I've liked a lot more than I like Drake heading into this week. I think I like Drake better now, don't I?
I mean, they beat both of them on a neutral floor, and that's a big week for them. I mean, that New Mexico State team, we had been huge on them. They've been a little bit disappointing because then they had to sweat out Wazoo in the next game. But, yeah, I mean, they're the only team. Part of this is a condemnation on the rest of the Missouri Valley, but Drake has been impressive.
The other team that impressed me a little bit was Indiana State. They did make it to the championship game of the Diamond Head, where they lost to TCU, who they'd already been playing for the second time this year.
Yeah, second time relatively recently.
I would not be surprised to see the Trees make a little noise in conference play. Southern Illinois continuing to fall apart. Illinois State's been awful. Loyola, Final Four team from last year, has been very disappointing also.
And I know the RPI, the NET, not quite in sync, but when you look at these rankings, it is kind of both surprising and disappointing to see how poorly these teams have performed. This is a Loyola Chicago team that we thought would be inside the bubble, a Southern Illinois team that we thought was even better than them coming into the year. Just really, really shockingly bad. Illinois State was another team we liked. What happened to this thing?
I don't know. This has been a very – other than what Drake has done, it's been a very disappointing year for the MVC.
Yeah.
This week we've got we'll actually be starting conference play on Wednesday, so but this weekend just a few more bye games, really.
Mm-hmm.
Stony Brook at Northern Iowa, I think we mentioned that one already. But
yeah.
Then we get into the conference play, including Indiana State at Loyola Chicago. Maybe want to circle that one as a good early season barometer for both teams.
Yeah, because early conference play
barometer. Early conference play barometer, yes.
Early season barometer hasn't been so good.
NEC, can't wait for conference play. But can't congrats wait for to SFBK for the winning record still.
Yeah, nice winning D1 record. Really good. You don't see that often out of this league. So good for them. And I like the Central Connecticut team too. And if you just like basketball, like for the raw atmosphere and emotion, this is such a fun league.
Really is.
The
upcoming schedule, we are still a week away from conference play here, so SFBK is not playing this week actually, so they should go in with a winning record.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, Central Connecticut, Oregon State, that might be a little too far across the country for them, I think.
Yeah.
LIU Brooklyn at Fordham, that could be a nice interesting crosstown rivalry there.
Well, yeah, it probably will be. And I think the winner should go to the A-10 and the loser should go to the A-10.
We should play it like that, shouldn't we?
Yeah,
we should. Let's talk about two very good under-the-radar teams here, Belmont and Murray State. Now, Murray did lose to Auburn. Can't fault them for that at all, though.
No, and we had talked about Auburn earlier in the week on Under the Radar. Murray State now losing to both Auburn and Alabama on the road. They actually had a lead in the second half against Alabama that they kind of blew. Auburn, they were right in there. They were keeping it within 10, and like it seemed like the lead would fluctuate between 10 and about 5. And every time Auburn looked like they had momentum built up, Murray would get back into it. And they actually had themselves in a position to possibly tie the game late. But, because they had it down to 3 with less than a minute to go.
But I got to tell you, David, if we like Lipscomb as much as we like them when we discuss them at the top of the show, don't you have to like Belmont better?
I think you absolutely have to. And they might – again, they have the 2 wins against Lipscomb, and that's pretty definitive. They beat them at Lipscomb, and then they beat them again at home. Both close games. They went out to UCLA, kind of struggled to get that one, but they won it. The win at Samford, the only team that's won there so far. I think this is a very good Belmont team. And
huge game Saturday.
Yeah, it is really big. It's big for Purdue, too. Belmont, I think, has looked as good or better than Purdue all year. If they get that one, and they're certainly good enough to do it, you have to start thinking about them as being inside the bubble, too, don't you? Because it's one of those things, if you're going to look at Lipscomb, then don't you have to look at Belmont?
You do. And a little disappointing look at the conference schedule here. Belmont and Murray only play once this season. It's at Murray on January 24th. So a little disappointing that we may not get a second game between them until the OVC final. Be great to see that, though.
Yeah, it would.
I don't even know if there's anybody else worth discussing here, though Jacksonville State did give West Virginia a game, but so has everybody else that's played him, I think.
Right, yeah. So, this is a 2-horse race.
We mentioned Austin Peay with the win over Liberty, winning that little 4-team event as well. But there's the upcoming schedule. Austin Peay's at Arkansas, actually coming up on Friday.
Right.
Let's keep things rolling here. We're moving along. We're going to the Patriot League, where we're waiting for conference play as well.
Yes, we are. Lehigh, Lehigh, Holy Cross, some pretty good.
And Bucknell is actually very – I did not like this Bucknell team heading into the season after the way they almost beat Ohio State, picking up 2 wins out of the Diamond Head.
Yeah, real good showing.
I'm kind of on the Bucknell bandwagon at this point.
That's a good point. Boston U has had some peaks and valleys, but Bucknell seems to be playing really well in the moment. And I wouldn't be surprised if they were a force in this league and maybe even ended up winning it.
Yeah, I really thought that they didn't have enough coming back, but they're only 6-6 overall. But I think that they might be the lot more serious of a contender than we gave them credit for heading into the year. They are at Army to start conference play on Wednesday. Before that, we've got a few more bye games, including Lehigh at West Virginia. You might want to circle that one.
Yeah, right. That one's interesting. Both Lehigh with a better record going into that game. Then they're at home against their big rivals, Lafayette. So,
yeah. Let's keep rolling here. Let's go into the SoCon, where welcome back, David. Welcome back to the Furman Paladins, to the Under the Radar show. You are no longer the top 25. You are now back where you belong.
Here's the problem for Furman, and their profile is interesting. Look at that strength of schedule, Chad. That is their out of conference strength of schedule, and they play in the SoCon.
Now I got to give them a little bit of credit here. They did schedule games at Villanova and at Loyola Chicago, which they won. So,
yeah.
But
and at LSU,
their bad games were just horribly bad, though. They played the, you know, what is that, 5 sub-300 teams, including the number 353 Asheville team.
Yeah. So 5 sub-300 teams, and then 3 D2 teams, include, or 3 non-D1 teams, including Bob Jones.
But I think the strength of schedule is weighed down by really bad tier four. And I think that's because the top four games there are not that horrible.
No, they're not. And to be fair, the committee is more interested in the individual teams you play, not the overall strength of schedule. But that is the strength of schedule is on there, and that is kind of hard to ignore. That would be a categorically awful SOS for them to get in at large. Now, the other question is how good are they compared to the rest of this conference?
Well, I think this is the other team to keep a real close eye on the right there. UNC Greensboro, I think they're my second favorite team in this league so far. They also lost at LSU, not as bad as Furman did. Their other loss was at Kentucky.
I got to correct myself. They won at Samford this past week. I had said that Belmont was the only team that had won there. Greensboro's won there as well. I know that Kentucky kind of blew it open in the end, but they were right in that game until they got in the late foul trouble. This is a really good Greensboro team. We've got a Wofford team that's good. We've got an East Tennessee State team that's good. And a Samford team that has played really well as well.
And you can't forget about the Citadel sitting there at 9-2 overall. Yeah, one of the best seasons we've seen out of them in a long, long time.
Right, and I'm glad you said that because I did kind of forget about them.
Well, don't forget about them. They didn't play this last week. We get full, even though everybody's already played one conference game during the month of December, I think we get fully into conference play this week.
Yeah, and this is a fun league. My only gripe is I wish they did the tournaments at campus sites because, God, what a fun season that would make for.
Actually, Citadel is not a conference game with that Longwood game. The rest of them, nor is Mercer's Harvard game. But look at that Saturday, though. Furman at East Tennessee State. You could circle that one already.
Yeah.
As, you know, could be two of the top teams of the SoCon going at it here on Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Southland Conference.
Oh, boy.
Another league where, well, you know, I mean, SFA had that huge win over Baylor last week. They followed it up with a nice 50-point win over Arlington Baptist.
Whoever that is. it's a pretty weak league. A really good story out of Abilene Christian, though, and I know that we've talked about them before, but and I'm just now noticing they're way over 500 in D1 games, and they're the only team that is. So, yes, and I know their schedule's been weak, but for a team that transitioned so recently, for them to be having this kind of success – nobody else in this conference really looks as good as they are.
Yeah, I still think at the end of the day, Stephen F. Austin will be the team to beat. But again, they played 4 9-D1 games, and that's why they're 7-4. Right. Although ACU played 3 of them and sitting there at 7-2, played such a weak schedule there. Number 50 for SFA versus 292 in strength of schedule.
Yeah.
Also, a very slow team there, 327 in tempo for.
Yeah. Yeah, still, I mean, they're still kind of interesting to watch. And I hope they start filling their arena. The home games I've seen them play, there's no one there.
Upcoming schedule there, we've got a few more non-D1, a few more bye games before we get into conference play coming up. I guess we're actually starting here Wednesday, New Orleans at Abilene Christian, Southeast Louisiana, SFA. Alabama at SFA, is that correct, David?
I think that is correct, yes.
Wow. Alabama, true road test at Stephen F. Austin on Sunday.
Yeah, and it might be in Dallas. You might have to look up the specifics of that, but I think that is right.
All right, we need Stalika here. Stalika, can you comment on that?
Yeah. Well, when Stalika joins us next week, he'll answer that. We know he's watching.
Stalika, you'll fill the results of that game next week. But let's go over to the SWAC, where we had a huge story coming out of Alabama A&M in red there on the APR ban list.
Yes.
The game I went to here in Atlantic City, winless versus winless, they got trounced by LaSalle, looked awful in doing it. And then somehow on Saturday, beat a late team we actually liked early in the season.
We did. After the first couple games, we were kind of big on the progress they were making and talking about them. Suddenly, Chad, there's three teams in this league without a D1 win, and Alabama A&M, not one of them.
Yeah, and that gave us the 11th win by this conference in non-conference play. We were only aiming for 10. We're up to 11. Yeah,
we were only aiming. I mean, they have surpassed the goal. Will they surpass it by more?
Well, let's see what we got coming up here. I think we're getting into conference play, but
yeah, I think you're right.
We've got a couple more left, though. Actually, we got one more week before conference play. Just a handful of games left. Southern on the road at Marquette.
Don't think any of those against D1 teams are winnable.
Alabama A&M with a trip to Hawaii and Pepperdine.
Pepperdine's awful.
But I don't know. Alabama A&M is hot on a one-game winning streak.
Yes, they are.
Okay, a couple more leagues to go through real quick here. The Summit League with South Dakota State. Summit League finished up two challenge series. Lost to the WAC, tied the Big Sky. But the conference couldn't do anything else this week.
Well, we're getting into the Summit League Challenge, which is against itself. South Dakota State, still the class of the league, not by as far. Good as we thought they'd be, I don't think, at least not what I was expecting, but still better than everybody else. Kind of a disappointing year for them.
Yeah, disappointing so far, but I think that they will make up for that when we get into league play here.
I do.
So they start off at Western Illinois, their lone game this week.
Yeah.
They should win.
They might win out. This is a really weak league.
You got home tests against a team like Fort Wayne or even North Dakota State, who's become a big rival of theirs in recent years. So, I would not exactly say, hey, listen, they're going to win every single one. I think they slip a bunch of choice. But Sun Belt Conference.
Yeah.
This Texas State team still continue to pile up wins against the 309 strength of schedule.
Yeah, it is a very weak schedule. There's some good stuff on it, but I like really the top four, but especially the top three. Texas State is interesting just because of that bloated record. Georgia State, I think, is still the best team in the league, but Georgia Southern has made some noise too.
Yeah, disappointing way they lost to Radford. We mentioned that game earlier.
Yeah.
But you know, I agree with you. I think that, you know, Texas State gave Arkansas a hell of a game. I was surprised how well they played against Arkansas this week.
Yeah, and that was, I mean, I know it was their second loss, but I think I was more impressed with them after that game than anything else I'd seen them do this year.
Upcoming schedule here in the Sun Belt for this week. We are still not quite into conference play yet in this league. But we see Georgia Southern is at Dayton. I don't even see Texas State on that list. I guess they've got the week off for the New Year.
Yeah.
Nor do I see Georgia State. Okay, no games. Let's end things up here with the WAC. How's that?
Okay, yeah.
New Mexico State, disappointing in their loss to Drake, did come back and squeezed out the win over Washington State. I'll put it that way.
Yeah.
And the Lopes still right there, 10-3 overall. Better metrics. No, I'm sorry. With the Lopes. The Lopes are not a better match. They're 7-5. I'm looking at the board.
Yeah. They're still having a good year. I still think they have a high ceiling. Mm-hmm. We'll do some good stuff in conference play, but I like New Mexico State. I don't see how you can't. I know that they just dropped a game out in their tournament, but I still like them to win the league.
A couple of shout outs here. Number one to Seattle, impressive 9-3 non conference against D1. And how about Cal Baptist, 5-5 against D1 competition, their first year?
That is pretty remarkable. Like, not just a transitional team, but a first-year transitional team, having a lot of success. You may recall, I think it was was it NJIT or Savannah State? It was one of the two teams of the people that won 7 games their entire 4 years of transition.
North Alabama may be joining that. We'll find out. So. New Mexico State at Colorado State coming up on Sunday. Good road test and a tough place to win, although not that great of a team. And right. Circle that Grand Canyon at San Diego game.
Yeah.
And maybe the Seattle-Cal game, too. Hell, why not?
Yeah, I think Seattle should win that one.
And Cal Baptist is hosting Laverne?
I assume.
Okay. On that note, let's actually, David, I want to pull up two team sheets real quick here. We got a quick moment here. Okay. I want to ask you a very important question. I said we get back to them. I put it, the Monmouth.
Is this the centenary?
On the left there. Well, not quite the centenary, but there are two completely winless teams left in the nation, Monmouth and Coppin State. Everybody else has at least one win, at least gets non-D1 competition. Here's the big question. Who breaks through first? If either of them. You know, which of these two teams gets a win first?
Well, it's not going to be Coppin State because they go to Savannah State. They host Savannah State. Winnable. It may not be either one. I think Monmouth would have a chance at Iona.
That January 12th Manhattan at Monmouth game. That might be where Monmouth gets their win.
Yeah.
But you know, right in there, you've got Coppin State hosting Norfolk State and South Carolina State. You might get that win there.
Yeah. So, I mean, all these teams, and again, there's other teams that are winless against D1, but these are the only two that have not won against anybody.
Correct.
Yeah.
All right. On that note, let's go to our top 10 list here. David, you didn't even bother voting this week, so now
I'm in jail, Chad.
It's me only, and I actually voted for 11 teams. So the team that I didn't put in my top 10 was North Texas.
Good pick.
I'm just not quite fully sold on them yet.
Yeah.
I put at number 10, UNC Greensboro.
Yeah, good. We talked about them, and I think that it's going to be a fun SoCon race, but they might be at the top. New Mexico State, yeah, still moving them down some after the loss, I take it. They were way up in mine.
After the loss and the way they played against Wazoo, I dropped them big because I saw a few other teams that I liked that moved up, including number 8. I'm still high in this Toledo team.
Yeah, real bloated record, real big week for them.
And at number 7, their opponent this week, Penn.
Yeah, that's a big game. That's a potentially bubblicious game between those two teams.
At number 6, I threw in there that Irvine team, still like them a lot out of the Big West.
Yeah.
And at number 5, Charleston.
College of Charleston. Real big record. They've been playing really well lately. I think they're going to blow through the Colonial.
Number 4.
Drake, way up the list there. Now,
I love what they did this week so much. They weren't even on my list last week.
Yeah.
All the way up to number 4 with the wins over New Mexico State and San Diego.
Okay.
Number 3, I think we know who the top 3 teams are. I got Lipscomb at 3rd.
I'm curious to see what your order. And I guess you got Furman. Oh, no.
Murray at 2. Oh, you know what? I did not. I screwed up, David. I actually forgot about Furman.
Well, I would have had them probably on this list 5th.
Yeah, you're right. Furman should have been on this list, given that we haven't been voting on them for the last few weeks. I did screw up. I still push everybody down, put Furman in there around 5th. Because number 1, though, I still like this. The top 4 here, definitely better than Furman. Number 1, I got Belmont.
Yeah, and I would have those top 4 in that same order.
On that note, we're done. You want to do a final thought?
I think we're done. My final thought is just the important thing to remember over the holidays is that everybody that plays for, coaches, or roots for a rival of a team that you like, they're all awful people. Just don't forget that during the holiday season.
I'll tell you the one caveat on that is that, David, if you are a rival of George Mason, they have one person who is not an awful person.
Right, yes, they do. They do. I don't have it.
Unfortunately, we don't have his picture this week. That would, of course, be George Mason's strength and conditioning coach.
Handy Hendura hand.
On that note, on behalf of David Griggs, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back again. This is our last Under the Radar for this year. We'll be back
again in 2019. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Back in 2019. Happy New Year, everybody.
All right.
All right. And we'll talk to you again real soon.